Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to Basketball Conference, the ACC Football Podcast. My name is Joey Weaver. He is Mike McDaniel. Mike, week 10. It's getting late early. How are you doing? How was your Halloween?
My Halloween was splendid. We were having a debate over whether or not to run the intro video. And Scott was like, we're doing it, baby. fire from the hip. And here we are.
All I know is that I'm sure Scott is excited that you've cursed in the first 20 seconds of this show. So that'll go really great in post-production.
Yeah. That's nice and easy. I'll try not to do it too many more times this evening.
Scott said we'll do it live. And then we did. So here we are. Week 10, we got to preview some games, Mike. Before we do that, should we – there was a little bit of news that we got earlier this week. You want to hit on that real quick?
Yeah, let's do it. ACC scheduling.
Yeah.
We have three teams, so we have to do this again.
I would say the 17-team ACC. We've had a solid 1 year of post-divisional ACC scheduling, and now we're going to add a team in Dallas and two teams in the Bay Area, and now we've got – a new scheduling model. And there was a big to-do about this. What was it? Monday night, I think. And the conference released it and it was like this big news and like all this stuff. And I felt like I was trying to be pretty concise with my tweet about this. My first two main takeaways from this were, number one, conference realignment sucks. And B, this is dumb. I continue to just be really irritated and frustrated that like we're trying to work in a schedule with 17 teams and we're killing off more rivalries and we're sending teams from Syracuse and Winston-Salem and Miami to the Bay Area, and it just further reinforces how like dumb I find all of this and how frustrated I am that this is where we're at with college football in general.
Yeah, I mean, Cal, Stanford, SMU, ACC schools, what a time.
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of hit on my thoughts with it in general. I mean, specific to Virginia Tech, which is really, to be honest with you, like I saw the graphic that showed like all the teams and their, you know, their permanent, you know, scheduling rivals, that sort of thing. I am glad that Virginia Tech will be playing both Miami and UVA on a regular basis. Like, I think the one thing that was lost with the 3-3-5 scheduling format we're at now is that the Hokies lost that permanent, you know, scheduling game with Miami. I am happy about that. See, Caleb Fields mentioned that in the comments. Like, I'm with him, and I think a lot of Virginia Tech fans are happy about that. Cam Underwood messaged us in the group Twitter thread we have, and
mentioned
that he's happy about it. It's just a long time rivalry that is now going to be played every year for the foreseeable future, which is good. It's a very good thing. So I'm happy about that as a Virginia Tech alum. Outside of that, like, this whole thing's dumb. I don't really, and it's not the ACC's fault, you know.
A little bit. It's mostly ESPN's fault, I guess.
It's not the ACC's fault in terms of like, this is what they had to do, like, given what's going on. Like, they had to adjust the schedule. Yeah. But every time I see something change with this, I'm just like, man, this whole thing, it just makes me more irritated as far as kind of the state of college football and where it's headed. And as far as, like, this being ACC and ESPN's fault, yeah, I mean, I'm with you there. But as far as releasing a new schedule and looking at where teams are falling when and that sort of thing, I can only get as excited about a year from now, right? As, you know, I can't get too excited about 28, 29, 30, 31. When are we playing Stanford? I don't really care. Like, when are we playing Cal? When do we have to go to the West? You have to go to the West Coast and play in Berkeley. I don't really care. Like, it just is what it is, right? I'm not happy about it.
I think Georgia Tech doesn't play one of the new teams until at least 26, if not 27.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to remember this off the top of my head because I really don't care enough about it to like actually pull it up and look at it.
Yeah.
One thing I will call out is that this actually kind of mirrors a little bit what the Big Ten announced that they're doing. And there were a lot of people that were concerned going up to the Big Ten announcement of like, there's a lot of rivalries and trophies and all this stuff within the Big Ten. It's like, how are they going to preserve this? And, you know, how do you preserve one without the other? And the Big Ten's basically just like, well, some teams are going to have them have a few preserved. Some are going to have none preserved and some will have one or two. And it's like a totally uneven scheduling model from a, in terms of like consistent opponents year over year.
Yeah.
Say if I remember correctly, I think all the triangle teams are basically like locked in. They'll all play each other every year. Georgia Tech and Louisville have no standing opponents year over year. Like it's just a totally new set of opponents every year.
Sure,
whatever, man. Whatever.
And how did they arrive at that? I mean, how did they arrive at Georgia Tech and Louisville being the two? I mean, I don't.
Apparently Georgia Tech specifically said, you know, that like we're willing to have no standing rivals, which like, again, it's great that Virginia Tech gets Miami every year, but like we've talked about in this podcast, it's kind of a bummer. Like after so many years of Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech determining the winner of the Coastal Division and like being a legitimate fun rivalry, all those Thursday night games that they would play, getting the spotlight and everything. And it was like, that all just kind of went away for this year. And now it still doesn't really come back. And
yeah,
it's like, I kind of understand that if Georgia Tech were to have gotten one permanent rival, it's probably Clemson. And that probably doesn't help your annual win loss case. You know, if you don't get Clemson, it's probably Florida State, which also doesn't really help your annual win loss case, especially right now when they're kind of getting it rolling again.
Might have helped this year getting Clemson.
So yeah, you kind of understand it from like I guess from a win loss standpoint, you know, it doesn't hurt not having a permanent rival, but like from just the generic like college football fan standpoint, like what are we doing?
Tom Fornelli made reference to, I was listening to Cover Three. He made reference to Arizona State maybe winning a Big 12 title with Kenny Dillingham next couple of years. I'm like, what are we doing? Well, I mean, not the prediction's fine, but like Arizona State in the Big 12. What are we doing?
Yeah.
I just, this whole thing makes me crazy.
I know. I hate it. It's at least as somebody who has been a college football fan and a significant college football fan. And by the way, the people we're doing this live on Wednesday night. It's November 1st. The people in the chat, if you're a big enough college football fan to be here in the chat right now, if you're listening to this after the fact, chances are very good that like none of this is really all that interesting or exciting for you. It's like this diminishes the sport. It does not enhance it. Mm-hmm. I assume that everyone kind of understands where we're coming from on this, that this is not a net positive for the ACC, but it is a necessary survival tactic, whatever that means in this day and age.
We talk about it like we're bored with this topic and we're pissed because we're bored about, you know, with this topic and we're pissed.
That's yeah. Kind of... If we wanted to do like the excitement, like, you know, we could try to play this thing up and really try to generate interest and clicks and content over it and act like this is like a super cool, fun thing.
No, but... God. No, God, please, no, no.
We would,
no.
You got it, Scott. No
we
way.
Would,
no!
We would be, we would be, the no at the end always gets me. We would be lying to you if we did that.
No.
We're not going to sell that for clicks. We would be lying. So.
Yeah. So.
Not going to do it.
Not excited. I'm kind of trying to savor college football this year for what it is before it just totally turns into something else starting next year. And
it's been such a fun season too. Like
it has,
it's been a very fun college football season. So
the Pac-12 has been awesome. It won't exist next year.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's, you know, yeah, I'm trying to enjoy it because it has been a really fun season so far. And
Pac-12, enjoy it. You know, I wouldn't bet against the Pac-12 getting a team in the playoff.
Like, no,
as we sit here beginning of November, I think it's more likely than not. So
yeah, agree with that. Mike, you want to talk about some games this weekend?
Let's do that. That's more fun.
That is way more fun. Week 10 in the ACC, we got 8 games on the docket. We got 2 weeknight games, which is a nice welcome change here. We can start Thursday night at 7:30 on ESPN as the Wake Forest Steamin' Deeks on the road in Durham, taking on the Duke Blue Devils. Duke, a 12.5 point home favorite, totals 44.5. As much as I don't think Wake is very good this year, and as much as I think Duke is also is still pretty good and the home team, Mike, am I crazy for kind of wanting Wake Forest in 12.5 in this game, in a game where I'm not sure what Duke's offense is going to look like?
You got to really want them.
You got to really want it.
You got to really, really want to make that leap. I don't know, man. I mean, I Duke without Riley Leonard, with Henry Bolin at quarterback, there is no passing game.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not. And, you know, maybe full week of work and, you know, you think that Bolin's going to play. Maybe there is a passing game, like, installed that will maybe work and get the job done. But there's really no semblance of a passing game when Riley Leonard is not in the lineup. And when he is in the lineup, it's been just okay. It hasn't been this, like, fantastic unit all year. I think offensively here, what we saw last week out of Duke is that when Leonard is healthy, this offense looks a lot different. Mm-hmm. When he's not healthy, this is a pretty average unit as a whole. They don't throw the ball great, even when Leonard's right, and they really don't run it all that well when he's hurt. And if you get Riley Leonard in this game, I am not sure, coming off of a game on Saturday where he didn't look particularly healthy, I don't think all of a sudden on a short week he's going to look like a totally different guy. That would really surprise me. But you flip it over to the other side, and what does Wake Forest have to offer you offensively? Not a whole lot. They don't run it well. They don't pass it well. They don't really know who their starting quarterback is, right? Griffiths kind of started last week out of necessity. Wake Forest, of course, went to Michael Kern in the second half of the Virginia Tech game, and he looked pretty good. Then he was hurt, and then Griffiths was also hurt, and they went with the Italian kid. I don't even remember. Marucci?
Santino Marucci. I was just looking that name up, wondering if this is a Mitch Griffiths game, a Michael Kern game, or a Santino Marucci game.
It's musical chairs at quarterback, and I have no confidence in Wake Forest in this spot on the road night game. Duke will be up for it because it's a triangle game against Wake Forest. They'll be up for it. I have no trust in the Wake Forest offense going up against the Duke defense for four quarters. It can go under 44.5. There might not be much in the way of Duke offense here, but even if Riley Leonard is a shell of himself, I would be very surprised if Duke cannot cover the 12.5 here. I don't see Wake Forest's path to scoring a lot of points. I really don't. So yeah. Give me Duke ugly. How's 20-6. 20-7 gets you there. 20-7 gets you there. This is an under game for me too, by the way. Under.
Yeah, total 44.5. Hard under here.
Under. Consider betting it. Under.
I'm more interested in the under than I am in the spread here. Yeah, if I had told you, Mike, back in, I don't know, August, that in the Wake at Duke game, we were going to be asking which of three possible quarterbacks Wake was going to be playing, how would you have felt about that? Who was going to win that game?
Well, if we were shuffling, right, you're shuffling the deck, and you told me that months ago, you're like, we have no idea who's playing quarterback for Wake Forest, be like, I'm probably gonna take Duke.
Yeah,
probably taking Duke because I know who's starting for them now. Man, he's hurt, so
that is a lot of points, and especially with what Duke's offense has looked like the last couple weeks with hampered Riley Leonard, and we know what it looks like when Henry Bolin is in there. And I just, like, I'm not confident in Duke to, like, cover this number, but I also think that with the way that Wake Forest's offense and quarterback situation has looked, and what and the way that Duke's defense can really mess with an opposing offense, almost feel like there could be a couple of short fields that help to prop up the score a little bit for Duke. I think give me the Blue Devils. I think lay them, and I don't feel good about it. I wouldn't bet that with my own money. I think if it's like if it's in a pick'em and I need another, you know, one or two games there, I guess that'll be one of them. But it's a lot of points to lay with this situation for Duke's offense. But I trust their defense so much that I'm kind of willing to do it at home.
Yeah.
On a short week.
Home, short week, defense. Yeah. No confidence in Wake's offense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wake's offense has been pretty rough. And if Duke decides that they just want to just run it right at them for four quarters on offense too, it's a shot that they could do that too.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I think we missed on the recap, I will say, is that not only was Duke missing or kind of only at like half speed Riley Leonard, there was one of their offensive linemen that they were missing. I think it was their left tackle that was out for that entire game as well, that really made things a little bit easier for Louisville's defense, I will say. So I don't know the status on if he'll be back for this game or not, but Wake's defense a little bit less daunting than Louisville's is. So I suspect that the Blue Devils are able to move the ball a little bit better. And just we should probably acknowledge the fact that Duke is almost a 14-point favorite in a game coming off of a shutout. Does that not tell us something about, like, you know, where Louisville is versus where Wake is as an opponent quality, right, kind of thing?
Right.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, I think Duke, definitely the under. Definitely the under. This number might be, like, 10 points too high from a total standpoint. Like,
yeah.
I don't know they'll get anywhere close to that.
Yeah. I'm probably betting the under. I am not going to lock it up for purposes of this podcast. Well,
I might come back to that. That's an option.
Yeah, let's move on for now.
Yeah.
There's one in particular I'm very interested in. You'll never guess.
It could be any of them.
Could be.
Duke in the under for the both of us. Let's move on to Friday night. This is also at 7:30. It is on ESPN2, Boston College Eagles are on the road in the Carrier Dome, taking on the Syracuse Orange. Producer Scott, please confirm that I am seeing this line right, that Syracuse is favored in this game by 2.5 points. I completely believe that the total is 50.5. Scott, is Syracuse actually favored here?
I just did the lines and the banners before we started the podcast. I will double check to make sure I didn't make a mistake. Yes, Syracuse -2.5.
Gross. No, thank you, everybody. No thanks.
What? Why? Okay. Does somebody know something here, Mike? Because this makes not the least bit of sense to me. Like, I would have said Boston College by like 3 here or something like that. This line is stinky as hell to me.
Is Castellanos not playing?
Ooh, that's a good question.
That is a great question.
I mean, he came back into the game last week.
Pete Thamel's probably tweeted about 14 times. He loves tweeting about Boston College.
No. He does that on Saturday mornings after the Tuesday morning coach press conference.
Sources say.
Source for the coach 5 days ago.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing anything specifically saying that Castellanos isn't playing. That's the only way that this makes sense to me, is if this game is going to have some more head to it. That's the best I've got.
I think what you meant to say was more dome. This is in the JMA Wireless Dome.
That's right, in the dome. That's right.
More there dome. More dome in the dome.
Scott, more dome in the
dome. You sick bastard. More dome in the dome. Yeah.
I don't.
Please.
Dude, this line is stinky as anything. And we talked about, again, like, maybe I'm putting too much into this Syracuse Virginia Tech game, but like, Syracuse coming off the bye, we knew that they were down pretty bad off those 3 losses in a row, but we knew this in August that was going to be a brutal stretch. They come off the bye. They're a 3-point dog at Virginia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
And they turn around and just get blown out. And there was some quit factor there. They lose by 4 scores. And it probably wasn't even that close. And to turn around and be at home as a favorite? Like, I'm... And with Boston College, what they've done in recent weeks, if this line weren't so stinky, I would be all over Boston College, like on the field. I think they're going to win the game, get to bowl eligibility. Syracuse quitting, you know, like all this stuff. Like, is Virginia Tech that good, Mike? Are they so good that they should have won that game by 4 scores?
That particular game, yes, but 9 times out of 10, no. I was looking at like the net success rate numbers, and yes, Virginia Tech did have as much success as they looked like they had. They probably should have won the game by more, actually.
Yeah.
But 9 times out of 10, the answer is no. The answer is no. So,
can you make any like any sense of this or head or tails, Mike? What? Why is this number what it is?
I'll try to help you guys out. Syracuse, lock it up.
Oh,
you better lock it up. You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Please. Let's just lean into it. I think this is an overreaction. First of all, this game's disgusting to bet. So I just want to get that out of the way.
Weeknight, JMA Wireless Dome, but Syracuse, Boston College action.
But I will let you know that I am not locking this game up to not bet it on Friday night. I am all over this thing. Yeah, we're locking up Syracuse. I think there's a couple things at play here. Number one, Thomas Castellanos' health. Number two, I think it's an overreaction, right, to Syracuse's loss to Virginia Tech, which you just kind of brought up. Three, like, these games are always tough and tight and ugly. And BC is not, like, they've looked improved over the course of the last, like, 5 or 6 weeks with Castellanos at quarterback. They didn't look particularly good against UConn. Right? They could not separate against a one-win UConn team last Saturday.
True. Yeah.
Like that was not a great look for BC. In a game where, yeah, I know Castellanos got banged up, but he came back in. I don't know, man. And I'm not saying Syracuse is good. Their own foreign conference. They've played 3 of the 4 most talented teams in the ACC. Three of the 4 most talented teams in the ACC. I was going to slide a Clemson joke in there, but we'll hold that for later. But yeah, I mean, they've had a tough conference schedule, and they had a tough scheduling spot, honestly, going to Blacksburg, where Virginia Tech's on fire, and now you have to go play them on Thursday night. That was a really tough spot for Syracuse last week, even coming off of a little bit of you had a week and a half off, basically. Kind of a tough spot. So... I'm rolling with the orange here. No input on the total for me, by the way. This could go any direction. But yeah, I mean, that the line doesn't make any sense. So let's just lean into it.
I think I'll lay him with Syracuse. And the only reason is steering into the stinky line. Like, I have two reasons. One is steering into the stinky line. Two is looking at SP Plus, which says that Syracuse should be favored by about a touchdown here.
Yeah.
But man, again, SP Plus is not weighted by recent performance. Like it's factoring in week 1, week 2 games as much as, you know, week 7, week 8 games. And I am nervous about this pick. I don't like it at all. It's again, this line stinks.
Just lock it up with me.
No,
why not?
I can't, I'm not that much fun. I'm not that much fun. I'll leave the total alone. I think that could go any number of directions.
You're drinking on a Wednesday. You're drinking on Wednesday night. What do you mean you're not much fun?
Drinking.
Please.
Scott, you're gonna get kicked out of this podcast. You're
soon. More dome in the dome, baby.
More dome in the dome. Dilly dilly to that. And cheers.
Yeah.
All right. Syracuse locked up for Mike. I've got the orange as well, I guess. No plays on the total here. We good?
We are good. Let's move on.
Let's move on. These weeknight previews brought to you by Section103.com, the internet's premier place for all things wonderful Georgia Tech apparel. They've got t-shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies. They've got things for men, women, children, something for the whole family. Things with the official Tech Gold, the Official Tech word marks, the ATL logo. They've got jerseys for Haynes King, Dante Smith, Zach Pyron. They even came out with one for Joe Hamilton, kind of commemorating his 1999 Heisman runner-up season. He was the best player in college football. Ron Dayne got the career service award basically there. So Joe Hamilton's our guy. Support to him. Go to section103.com. Use promo code GOACC for 10% off your first order there. We really appreciate their support for this podcast, your support for them. They've got stickers. They've got all sorts of cool things there. If you're trying to show your support for Georgia Tech, go to section103.com. And by the way, as the weather starts to get cooler here, you're looking to represent your team. I cannot recommend enough the Coach Hoodie, the gray Coach Hoodie. They've got a short sleeve version if you want to look like Brent Key. They've got a longer sleeve version if you're a normal person. You get kind of chilly when the weather gets cold outside. Go get one of those. It is so soft. It is so comfortable. Keeps you warm. Looks great. Keeps your support of Georgia Tech going. Great to wear to the game. Great to wear out, you know, when you go grocery shopping or do whatever else you do. Highly, highly recommend that hoodie. I am not wearing it right now because it is in my laundry because I was already wearing it this week. So again, I've made very, very good use of that hoodie. Highly recommended if you get your hands on one. Once again, use promo code GOACC at section103.com to get 10% off your first order. Shout out to Steven and the gang. Really, really appreciate their support.
I am wearing my Section 103 Georgia Tech shirt right now.
Attaboy.
So just want
Bobby Dodd Stadium, your happy place.
It is. I haven't worn that shirt in a little while, though.
Is Hyundai Field your happy place?
I'm going to have to just attend a game in that stadium one time just to say I've been there for both iterations, you know?
The one good thing about the ACC schedule release is I believe next year the Tecmo Bowl resumes.
Blacksburg.
Okay, well, maybe by the time our kids are in kindergarten, we can meet up in Atlanta for a game.
There. See you there.
I need to make it up to Blacksburg, honestly. Yeah. So maybe we do a live recording from up there at some point. Ooh.
Yes.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
That's right.
You ready?
Showtime. On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Noon on Saturday on ABC. The number 15 Notre Dame Fighting Irish on the road, taking on the Clemson Tigers.
Noon on ABC, just like we all predicted.
Yeah, yeah. Surprised they didn't get punted to like the CW or something like that. Put Notre Dame on the CW, please. That would be hilarious. Notre Dame's a 3-point road favorite here. That's kind of a small line. Total's 44.5. Dude, the lines just so far all this week, all of them stink, Mike. Every one of them stinks. And like Notre Dame should be favored by more than this. Like this should be 6 or 7 at this point.
Yeah.
Are you steering in? Are you on Clemson here?
I have no interest in betting on Clemson. None. So how many points? I understand Notre Dame's on the road. How many points do the Irish need to score in your opinion to win this football game?
Just to win?
To win the football game. How many points do you think they need to score?
I would say they've got a 95% chance of winning if they score 27 points.
Three. Scott's yelling three. 27 points. Okay.
I was going to go like either 24 or 27 points would give them like a 95% chance of winning.
That's where I'm at too. I think if they score 24 or more points, I think they win the game.
Mm-hmm.
Notre Dame's defense is really good. Really good.
Very good.
Like, real good. Like, shut down Marvin Harrison Jr. good.
Yeah. Notre Dame's offense sometimes moves the ball.
They're okay. They are not great. They are
not the best offense Sam Hartman's been a part of in his career.
That's for sure. That is for sure. I have a hard time seeing the story of this game for me is I have a really, really hard time seeing Clemson move the ball for four quarters against Notre Dame's defense. Mm-hmm. Defense travels, tends to travel, yeah. Right? Defense tends to travel. I have a really hard time seeing Clemson with what we've seen out of Cade Klubnik. We don't know Will Shipley's status after he got knocked out of last week's game that I'm aware of. Joey, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know anything on Will Shipley's status. We have no idea if he's playing.
He was in the protocol, concussion protocol.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the week. So depending TBD. On how there's that.
So
4 hours ago, Scott, still day to day. We'll see.
TBD. Very TBD. I mean, if he doesn't play, is Notre Dame afraid of Phil Maffa?
No.
No.
Absolutely not.
No, they're not. To be honest with you, I don't even think Notre Dame's defense is that afraid of Will Shipley. They've faced some good running backs this year, and who's really gashed them? Louisville had some success in the second half running the ball, right, with Jawar Jordan, I guess. But that's a game that kind of spiraled quickly. Man, I am just not. I don't really have a whole like rash of reasons to pick Clemson here.
I think you're right.
Oh, right? I
think you're on the right side.
Weird line.
I'll take Notre Dame as a road favorite, I think. And I think if nothing else, it does feel like Notre Dame's defense versus Clemson's offense is a mismatch. And it's kind of the same thing of this like Duke defense versus Wake's offense. Like, am I really confident in Notre Dame's offense to move the ball on Clemson's defense? Not really, but do I think that Notre Dame's defense can create some short fields and, you know, possibly even set up or generate a touchdown of its own? Yeah, I think so. And for a small spread like this, the way Clemson's been playing, some of the stuff I saw Cade Klubnik do last week, man, I agree with our guy Hari Balls, like, Clemson's a dumpster fire, man. Like,
he's back.
It's a little bit of dumpster fire situation. And I bring that up specifically because I want to agree with that comment, not because I just want to bring up the commenter's name. I think dumpster fire is appropriate to mention here. No, it's not actually, but I can't trust Cade Klubnik in that offense, especially. I don't even know how likely it is that Will Shipley plays. Again, that was a nasty hit. Did you see that hit that he took?
It was ugly.
I was worried about neck stuff, spinal stuff. Like, it was not good. And he was down for a while. And I just, hard to see him playing to his full potential this week. And if he doesn't, the rest of the Clemson offense, I don't think they're moving the ball on Notre Dame. So I think Notre Dame and the under here for me. Yeah, I think it's under either way, but yeah, Notre Dame in the under.
Yeah, the one other thing I want to bring up, and you're mentioning, you know, do you have a ton of confidence in Notre Dame moving the ball on Clemson? Not really. Caveat to that, I'm going to say not really in the first quarter. I have a decent amount of confidence they'll move the ball on Clemson in the fourth quarter.
At some point, that defense is going to get tired.
At some point, that defense is going to get tired. I mean, we've seen that a few times, right?
They'll be on the field the whole game.
Yeah. Saw it against Miami. Saw it last week. Like, it's at some point, the defense is just going to get tired. And that's going to be it. So, yeah, give me Notre Dame. The under's the play. Give me Notre Dame. We might come back to it later.
Yeah. There is a piece of me that is completely understands where Volusia's Orange is coming from. Remember, I told you twice last week that Georgia Tech was going to win against North Carolina as a double-digit dog. Mm-hmm. Like, loses oranges. That said, I'm taking us to win. No real reason why. Yeah. Sometimes in college football, teams win for no apparent reason. And it's not anything predictable and just weird stuff happens. That is 100% on the table here. That could happen.
They're still talented.
Something dumb happens. Yeah, you break a couple big plays. You get a turnover in the right place. You know.
Hey, it was BYOG. Bring your own guts.
And I bet it will be on the field.
Gonna have to be. It's about
Dabo,
all
not short on not short on sound bites this week. So
yeah,
wonder if Tyler from Spartanburg is gonna be there.
Oh yeah, there it is. If you know, you know.
Go Tigers! All right, Notre Dame and the under for the both of us, if I'm not mistaken. That's right. All right. Also at noon on the ACC network, Mike, the North Carolina Tar Heels hosting the Campbell Camels.
Whoa, Carolina. Whoa.
That's the Campbell Fighting Campbells, baby.
Fighting Camels.
I only know that because that was my team in NCAA 08 basketball that I would just take and win national championships with.
What a random pick.
Have you had to discuss with your therapist like how you came up with Campbell for NCAA 08?
Their mascot was a goofy-looking-ass Campbell. Or camel. Just go look at him. He's all lanky. I just thought it was funny.
That works.
He likes their soup.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Yeah. Should be an easy walkthrough for North Carolina here.
Yes.
You're coming off back-to-back losses as double-digit favorites. Don't make it three in a row.
Give me the heels.
Yeah. We don't have a spread here, so we're not really like picking that, but Campbell has a 6-point win over Maine, a 3-point win at Hampton, a 2-touchdown win at Monmouth, and they blew out the Citadel. They've lost to William and Mary. They lost to Elon, NC Central, and Richmond. So, yeah. A couple teams that have played competitive games with ACC teams, they have lost to. So
Evan Sandage in the comments pulls a Chip Patterson and says, but wouldn't it be hilarious? Yes. Yes, it would.
Nothing would be funnier. And you want to talk about this game, this game being someone's Super Bowl. Those dudes, if they go out there and beat North Carolina, they will tell their grandkids about that. And that counts for something.
All the guys running out with that goofy looking camel on their jersey. They're all like our size running out of the tunnel.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right. Carolina, I think, wins comfortably. I'm not concerned. I swear.
They're going to be taking pictures with their girlfriends on the field after the game like you did in high school.
Yeah.
But they're not going to, they're going to crop out the scoreboard because they lost like 73-6.
You had a girlfriend in high school? Never mind. 2 o'clock on the CW.
Morehead, baby. Morehead.
Please.
Oh, God. All right, Scott. That's enough. Enough. This was a family program.
And then I went to Boston College. No, just kidding. Jesuit school, for those wondering.
2 o'clock on the CW, noted ACC football channel. I believe this is before the home improvement reruns, but, you know, I didn't check your local listings. 2 o'clock on the CW, the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets on the road in Charlottesville taking on the Virginia Cavaliers. Virginia, a 2-point home favorite here. Total is 57.5. First of all, pass. No, thank you. In terms of actually wagering on this game, absolutely not.
I'm hoping that this is like the Boston College UVA game that was on the CW in late September.
That was an entertaining game.
That was a great. That was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Mid afternoon, nobody's really paying attention because there's a bunch of big games that day. And here comes BC UVA flying under the radar, scoring like 8 billion points in the second half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's possible. There are so many mixed vibes here, Mike, I'll say.
Yeah.
First of all, I've mentioned before, Charlottesville, house of horrors for Georgia Tech.
That's one.
Traditionally played terribly there. Number two, underdogs are basically undefeated
on the CW
this year.
That's two.
And here we are. This is the North Carolina losing streak game, by the way. these are the last two teams that have played and beaten North Carolina. Mm-hmm. The only two teams that have beaten North Carolina this year. Seems like Virginia might be getting better. Georgia Tech is in an odd game. This is their ninth game of the year, which is so far not going very well at all. They're 0-4 in games 1, 3, 5, and 7. Georgia Tech is in a road spot here, which is a good thing. So there's just like all sorts of mixed bags of things going on here that I don't know what to believe. I don't want to pick this game. If you put a gun to my head and said, you know, place your own hard-earned money on this game, I would say pull the trigger. No, thank you. Yeah. Do you have a read on this at all, Mike?
No. Nope. I know people come here for like our opinions on this stuff, but no, I don't. I think the wrong team is probably favored, but I also think that UVA has been getting better the last couple of weeks. And everything you just said, Georgia Tech has trouble in Charlottesville, but then also there's the underdog on the CW factor, which is just definitely a stat to note because that's turning into a thing for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think I'm just going to lay in with UVA.
I think so too.
I'm not being a hater. I just think the wrong team's favored. I'm just going to lean into the line. So
call it an emotional hedge or whatever, but I think I'm with you. I think just lay in with Virginia, and this feels a little bit like Vegas throwing their hands up saying, who the hell knows?
Mm-hmm.
And I go back to that Bill Connelly tweet that I mentioned in the recap that we did for week 9. It's like Georgia Tech has wildly over and underperformed in every game they've been in for a month now. Like, who knows?
Aren't they also alternating wins and losses?
Yeah.
So yeah. This is a loss week. Yeah. Give me UVA.
Yeah. So far this year in 8 games, Georgia Tech has lost 1, lost 1, lost 1, lost 1. Like, I don't know. Sure. Why not? Like, do you win and start reading your press clippings and then lose and start reading your press clippings? I don't know. I don't know.
This is the type of game. This is the type of game that Brent Key loses.
It is, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And it's really unfortunate because, like, this is, if you're going to make a bowl game,
need it.
This is probably one that you really, really need. And I hope that they can find a way to get it done. But I just don't know. Some of the stuff I saw against North Carolina, like, does that get exploited? Like, some of the defensive stuff, getting the calls in and getting lined up, just basic stuff like that. Virginia's offense seems like they're kind of putting it together a little bit. You know, they're running the ball pretty well, I feel like, and Tony Musket's settling in a little bit. Like,
Mike Hollins have a nice little year.
Yeah, he is. He's not really racking up big yards, but he's doing really well in short yardage situations. And
he just scores a million touchdowns.
Yeah, he's punching it in. He's, you know, 12 carries for 3 touchdowns on most every game, it feels like.
Yeah.
Virginia, in a weird way, Virginia is looking a little bit more consistent right now than Georgia Tech is. And so, yeah, for that reason, if only that reason, I guess just lay them with Virginia.
Yep.
Feels weird.
Does feel weird.
Total's 57.5. I would probably pass. I guess, again, gun to my head, I'd probably take the over.
I'm leaning over here. Yeah, I'd lean over, but I'm going to pass on as well.
Tech's defense has significant problems. Just again, getting lined up.
Getting lined up. Yeah.
Basic stuff that results in big issues if you don't do it right.
Yeah. They're looking like they don't have a coach on the defense side of the ball.
He did it again.
This is like the third time in the last 4 podcasts. He's hit the back button and closed himself out of the feed. Unreal. I guess we'll do the home field and Vivid series now.
Sure.
You did it again, Joey.
I'm ashamed.
Okay. We're presented by Home. Yeah.
I was going to prompt you for the other ad reads anyways. So
good. Yeah, perfect. Good timing. I said, I guess I'll just do the ad reads now.
I might go get more bourbon while you're doing that.
Beautiful. I'll do that. I'll take my time. We are sponsored by Home Field. Again, really comfortable, licensed collegiate apparel. Vintage designs, extremely soft, comfortable shirts, sweatshirts, you name it. They have a featured game every week where they do like a limited, you know, limited release mini collection. They do a lot of cool stuff over at Homefield. We're really happy they are partners with us. Use promo code GOACC at checkout for 15% off your first order at homefieldapparel.com.
And if you like basketball, they're doing some basketball release this week or something for the college basketball season. And you can use the code on anything. So just use it.
Anything. Yeah. So, yeah, just make sure you're using that.
I wanted to mention, too, that they just came out with some bomber jackets. There's one for Georgia Tech here. There's one for Clemson and Miami. There's one for Virginia Tech. Like, these are super cool vintage bomber jackets too, by the way. They're like $160, but using our promo code, you get 15% off. So do that.
Do that.
Quick math tells me that's $24 off. So do that.
Bang.
Very good math, Scott.
Very good.
It's that Virginia Tech education.
Yes, it is.
Go Hokies.
Go Hokies. Invent the future. Okay. We're also presented by our other sponsor, Vivid Seats. Had a almost blacked out there. If you're going to a football game this weekend, if you're going to any games the rest of the year, concerts, you name it, anything that really sells tickets, Vivid Seats is the third party reseller for you. Use promo code BCPOD20 for $20 off your first order of $200 or more when you use the link in the description of this video and wherever you are listening to the podcast today. You'll find it in the episode description. Use that link. Use the promo code. Helps us. Helps you. $20 off first order of $200 or more at vividseats.com.
Don't need to use it on a football game. Don't need to use it on a concert. I think I'm planning to use it on a play this holiday season. We now are in the month of November, so maybe go see the Nutcracker. Use $20 off, get your Nutcracker tickets, you know? There you go.
If you're planning on going to a World Series game.
Well, it's over.
You got to wait till next year.
It's over now. It's over now. Yeah.
Yeah. So sorry, you missed your chance.
Yeah.
But find something else to go to. And if it costs more than $200, yeah, get 20% off or $20 off, excuse me, at vividseats.com using the promo code and the link in the description. Appreciate it.
There's a Nutcracker joke in there somewhere with how expensive tickets are these days. So just use the promo code.
Please. Good Lord, Scott.
Again.
We don't need to know what you're into.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's move to the afternoon slate, Mike. At 3:30 on ESPN, the number 4 Florida State Seminoles on the road in Pittsburgh taking on the Pitt Panthers. Florida State, a 21.5 point road favorite here. Total is 50.5. Okay, look, like, I know that there's the existence of the Pitt super weapon. Number one, I would say they probably already fired it in beating Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I'm not even sure that anyone's like making an effort to charge the super weapon right now, given some of the Pat Narduzzi comments after the game and the way that everything has gone this season. I think there's a good amount of quit in this team. And it just feels dumb to lay more than 3 touchdowns with a road team going to Pittsburgh. But I feel like Pitt is squarely on quit watch right now. And I am not going to be caught betting on the Panthers at the moment. So I'll lay them with Florida State.
I am laying them as well. Pittsburgh is quitting. They have a interesting quarterback situation. Christian Vieira is not great.
Interesting is a good word to describe anybody's quarterback situation. Like that's when things are going really well, is when you describe it as interesting.
It's slightly better than Wake Forest's, but it's not ideal.
Yeah, not great.
They're having some issues at quarterback.
Christian Vieira, find the R.
Find the R. Still looking for it. If you focus really closely, you still won't find it.
Backup quarterback is a tight end.
That's true. Man, what's the incentive for Florida State here to just come out and be focused? What's the incentive?
Not much. Because even like looking at next week, they have.
I'm searching too.
What is it? It's next week's Miami. So that's the look ahead spot. So that's not ideal from a cover three touchdowns in the hook standpoint.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I won't be betting this on Saturday. So just keep that in mind. I'm not going to be betting it for purposes of the podcast. So even with a look ahead spot, I don't see it with Pittsburgh.
No, yeah. I don't either.
You have to be doing something well in order for me to like take you to cover three scores. And Pitt doesn't do a whole lot of anything well.
Yeah, not really. Especially on offense. Like if Florida State's defense is like halfway there, I mean, Pitt isn't getting more than 10 points in this game.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, lame of Florida State, I think. And I could see this being, like 38 to 10, something like that.
Yeah.
Again, clear look ahead spot for Florida State. No incentive to run it up here. Like, just get to a comfortable lead and get to the end of the game. So it's a number like this, I would not bet with my own money, but I feel comfortable laying the number given again, the quit watch factor on Pittsburgh. Like, they haven't been good and I think it's about to get worse. And
yeah,
so sure, I guess lay it for the purposes of the podcast or for like your pick 'em. SP Plus, without being able to, SP Plus, an advanced analytics system, does not really have a quit watch factor in it. So it has Florida State by 19 for what that's worth.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. Knowles, I guess.
Knowles. It's going to be right near the number, though. I don't think this is going to be like what Notre Dame did to Pittsburgh last weekend. I don't think it's going to be anything like that. I think it'll be like 35-10 or something like that.
I would not be betting the full game total, by the way. If you feel strongly about how this is going to go, I would bet one of the team totals. I would be betting either. I'm guessing. So the implied score here is going to be, 38 to 10 would put you pretty close, like 41-13 ish. Not even really 41 to 10. Yeah. 41 to 10. Yeah. It's about right. If anything, maybe Florida State team total under. Like, do I think that they call them off and just it's they come up short of 41 points? Yeah, maybe. But I would not be betting the total in this game at all.
I'm off the total. So, Florida State and stay away on the total for me.
For purpose of the podcast. Yep. All right. Well, there you got it. Florida State for the both of us. And no thanks on the total. 3:30, also on the ACC Network. Also at 3:30 on the ACC Network. It's a different TV channel than Florida State Pittsburgh can be found on.
Right.
The Virginia Tech Hokies on the road in Louisville, taking on the number 13 Cardinals. Louisville, a 9.5-point home favorite, total is 48.5. Yeah. Mike, this spread is coming down. This opened at, what was it, like 12 or something?
It opened at 12.
Are you surprised this number coming down that far across 10 already?
I'm surprised it opened at 12. I thought this would be Louisville 8.5. That's what I was thinking. So this is more in the neighborhood of what I actually expected it to be. I was surprised it opened at 12. Real easy here. Virginia Tech's going on the road. They've been a much different team away from home this year than they have been at Lane Stadium, especially since Kyron Drones took over. Virginia Tech also, like the last running back they faced like this in Jawar Jordan, assuming he's a full go and healthy, which, I mean, he looked good last week. Assuming that he plays, which we're all anticipating, the last running back they faced in a winnable game, because you can't even really count the Florida State game as a winnable game.
Trey Benson. Yeah.
Right. So in a winnable game was what? Marshall?
I was going to say.
Or Rutgers? I mean, two decent running back rooms there.
Rasheen Ali went 27 carries for 174 and two scores. Like,
yeah. So, yeah, I mean, on one hand, you could be like, all right, yeah, Virginia Tech's rushing defense is really starting to figure it out. And then you look at the teams they've played. They've played Pittsburgh. They've played Wake Forest. They've played Syracuse. And like I mentioned on the recap, it's great that Virginia Tech has been able to separate themselves against kind of the really bad teams in the ACC. That's a really good sign. They've been able to gain separation. Really good. I am not confident that Virginia Tech's rushing defense has all of a sudden just figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they've improved, certainly. I don't think that they're all of a sudden like they've been playing like a top, you know, five or six rushing defense in the ACC, which I don't think they are. They've been playing that way since you take out the Florida State game. They've been playing that way for about a month. I don't think that they are like that, right? I don't think they're real.
Yeah.
So I don't trust Virginia Tech's rushing defense here against Jawar Jordan. I think if Virginia Tech's able to get after the passer here, I think this game gets a lot more competitive. Virginia Tech's been really good the last couple of weeks against two really, really bad offensive lines in Wake Forest and Syracuse. And we've talked about this, right? Jag Plummer, right? So if Virginia Tech stops the run here, they're probably going to win the game, because I don't think that Plummer is going to just throw all over Virginia Tech secondary.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at the other side, and Virginia Tech's offense has been good, but they haven't played a defense of this caliber since Florida State. And I look at the defense they've played in general this season. This is probably the second toughest test to date behind the Seminoles. On the road, feeling great about things. Louisville, lock it up.
Ooh. You better lock it up. You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Please.
Yeah, I don't see it here. I think this is a step back this week for Virginia Tech.
Totally valid point by Hari Balls. This game puts the winner in the driver's seat for the ACC championship game, which is a really weird thing to be saying about Virginia Tech at this point in the year. But
just as we all predicted.
As the math goes, like, that is factual. That is completely true. Evan Sandage and Caleb Fields locking up the Hokies, which, all right, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. One of the things I'm going to point out, and this is like this is a number that is completely free of context in any way, shape, or form. The Hokies have won three out of their last four. They're looking pretty good. All four of those games against ACC competition. Like, the three wins against ACC teams, do you know what the combined record in conference play of those ACC teams is?
Off the top of my head, Syracuse has not won a conference game yet. Pittsburgh has won one conference game, right? That's Louisville. And then Wake Forest is the other, and Wake Forest has what? One conference win?
They are 2-11.
10-11.
Between the three of them.
Yeah.
Now, three of the 11 were to Virginia Tech. So, you know, there's a little bit played in.
Yeah, there's that.
But in non-Virginia Tech games, even still, they're 2-8 in conference play. And again, free of context, Syracuse had a bad run of the three teams they played. You know, like, all this stuff, I get that. But, like,
it's a real running back this week. A real running back. Like,
Hokies on the road inside of 10 points against a, like, fairly decidedly good Louisville team. Like, that kind of blew out Notre Dame a few weeks ago and such. Like,
yeah.
Virginia Tech's getting better. I don't know that they're this much better. I don't know that they're ready for the show, if, you know, we'll call it that. I'm also making big assumptions that Louisville is not going to just totally no-show this after a good emotional win over Duke last week. I'm with you. Give me Louisville. And I think we got to lock that up, Mike. Lock up the Cardinals.
You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Getting it inside of 10 points. Jeff Brohm's got that team playing really well. The defense, as we talked about on the recap, playing very well. I will say something that I don't know that we've really touched on much in this show is the switch to Kyren drones, I think, has really changed the outlook of the season for Virginia Tech. But
yeah,
I don't know that that really makes a huge, huge difference in this game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think as long as you avoid a letdown from a supposedly emotional win over Duke last week, yeah, I think Louisville can roll in this game.
Yeah, this Louisville team is capital G good. Virginia Tech's going to have Louisville's full attention with how the Hokies have been playing coming in. Mm-hmm. This is a tough spot for Virginia Tech. The mm-hmm. fans, I just see social media. Fans are real in on Virginia Tech. They should be. I think the Hokies can make a bowl game. Season's really turned around. A lot of year two of a rebuild, a lot of good things going on, right, in October, mm-hmm. and a lot of reason for optimism. Louisville is really good. They're good. Beginning of the year, I was thinking, yeah, I mean, they might just be a product of an easy schedule. Roster's real good, guys. Brom is a good coach. He will have them ready. They're at home. This is, and Virginia Tech's just been a different team away from home this year, too. Like, can't underestimate that. Kyren drones on the road. Like, this is, he's gone to Tallahassee and he played fine. But this is a really tough spot here for Virginia Tech, man. I don't see it. So,
yeah.
Don't see it.
I do want to respond to one thing we got in the comments here from Hokie Nation Talk Show. Virginia Tech's defense not figuring it out, had zero total rushing yards allowed last week.
Scroll up. I mean, we talked about this a couple minutes ago. This is a good running. This is a really good running back they're playing. Like, Trey Benson, right? Okay, so Virginia Tech had a good showing against Pittsburgh. And then what did Trey Benson do to Virginia Tech when Tech went to Tallahassee? He ran all over him. And yeah. Jawar Jordan is a similar caliber running back. I just don't think that Virginia Tech just has the magic potion and has all of a sudden figured it out, man. Like, there have been bad teams they've been playing with not very good running back rooms, and this is one of the best they'll see all year. So I don't feel good about the Hokies this week. Feel good about them making a bowl game. Don't feel great this week.
What do you think their strategy is, though? I mean, like, Pitt, who they kicked the crap out of, Louisville. We know the transitive property doesn't exist, but, like, right. He's a guy. Jack Plummer's a guy. If they sell out to stop the run, can't they win the game?
The Louisville Pitt game, we talked about that. That was like Louisville was definitively the better team on like 80 to 85% of the plays, but there were a small handful that like really turned the game basically for Louisville. Like there were like two red zone turnovers. I think one of them went back for a touchdown for Pitt.
85 yard pick six.
Yeah. It's just like the other one that has been getting brought up, I think, in the group chat a little bit is like, you know, how did Boston College keep it so close against Florida State? It's like there are so many contextual things there. I think Florida State had like the flu going through. That was the red bandana game. I think they switched to Thomas Castellanos not long before. Like, I just don't know how much like that's a repeatable normal thing that like, well, yeah, like Louisville's not as good of a team as Pitt.
Yeah.
Like, I think that game, again, you play that game 10 times. I think Louisville wins 7 or 8. Like, it was a weird, the spot on the schedule and just everything that happened in there. It's just, I don't think that that's a normal standard matchup when those two teams play, if they play 10 times or more.
Yeah. I think Virginia Tech does try to sell out to stop the run, but
yeah, make Jag Plummer beat you.
But I just don't know how many points. I mean, Virginia Tech's going to have to score 24 to 27 points, and this is the best defense they've played. And I mean, outside of Florida State, it's the best defense I think Virginia Tech's seen all season. So
it's probably right. It's either them or Rutgers, maybe?
Maybe Rutgers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Yeah, we got some thoughts here in the comments. Evan Sanders, the fans have lost their mind and think we're going to upset Florida State in the ACC championship game. I'm assuming that's referring to Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's maybe a bridge too far. But
a couple. Yeah. I'd say a couple.
There you go. All right. We both have Louisville locked up here. This is the first time in like a month that I think I've locked something up as we go through the games the first time. So that's noteworthy. I think especially getting it inside of 10 is where I'm pretty gung-ho on that.
Yeah.
So, all right, Mike, to the night slate, and it's just one game at 8 o'clock on the ACC network. The Miami Hurricanes on the road at NC State. They're in Raleigh taking on the NC State Wolfpack. Miami's a 4.5-point road favorite. Over under is 45.5. Mike, is there a reason I should not be locking up the Wolfpack?
I was going to say, no, that there's not. NC State, lock it up. We're locking up another one tonight, baby.
You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up. Get, lock it up.
Please. Getting frisky. I've locked up Syracuse, Boston College. I've locked up NC State, last game of the night. See how the day's been going. As Scott Van Pelt says, you fire on a late night game. Feeling good about yourself. It's not exactly like watching San Jose State play at like 2 a.m., but it's something.
Big Bob on the call.
RIP. Hi, Cam, by the way.
Yeah. Damn, I am tempted to lock up NC State here.
Join me, brother. Two lock unions on this podcast tonight. Let's do it.
Let me triple check. I'm pretty sure what I said earlier, because we know what Miami has to go do next week, right?
Mm-hmm.
They'll be on the road in Tallahassee. So going to Raleigh a week before that, at night, against the Wolfpack? Yeah, we're locking up NC State. Give me the Wolfpack. Lock them up.
You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Please.
Something that I don't think we've really mentioned, and especially coming off that Clemson win, NC State now, Mike, this is pretty decidedly like a down year for the Wolfpack, right? Like, that is that a fair statement? This is below standard for what they have been basically since we've been doing this podcast.
Yes, I would say so.
Mike, they're one win away from making a bowl game.
They are.
And if your down year is making a bowl game, that is a damn good coaching job. And we keep talking about how good this defense is. Miami's offense has not been very special in recent weeks. Something doesn't really look right with Tyler Van Dyke.
Yeah.
He didn't play 2 weeks ago. He didn't look very good last week. Didn't look great the week before that, taking a bunch of shots against North Carolina.
Yeah. He's got 7 turnovers in his last 3 ACC starts.
Yeah. And as we mentioned in the recap, if you're willing to give it up, you know who's willing to take it? That would be that NC State defense.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think Miami's defense is glitchy enough to give up a couple of big plays to MJ Morris and Devin Concepcion and some of the boys? Yeah, I do. I do. I think NC State very well could win this game on the field. I think that is on the table.
I think so too.
Don't go into Raleigh at night and just expect to come out with a win. That is not an easy place to play. And especially with coming off the Clemson win, like, that fan base is going to be fired up. That stadium is going to be rocking. If Miami goes down 7-0, 10-0 early, that thing might be over quickly. I don't know.
This is a fun live betting game too.
Mm-hmm.
This has got really fun live bet potential.
Yeah.
If you're into that sort of thing.
Yep. This is a classic college football, like, context betting spot. Like, objectively, who's the better team?
Miami.
Probably Miami.
Miami, I would say. Yeah.
But this
more spot, balanced.
Yeah. This spot front to back, like, I don't think it's a look ahead for NC State, given that they got to go to Winston-Salem and play Wake Forest next week. I just don't.
Should get to a bowl game, even if you lose this weekend.
Yep. Yeah. I think the Wolfpack's fired up here. I think they, I'm not going to lock up the money line here, but.
Oh my God.
If we had a money line sprinkle segment on this show, this would be one of mine for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dangerous, dangerous spot for Miami.
This is tough. Look ahead spot for the Hurricanes. Plus, you don't trust them anyways. A short road favorite. NC State feeling good about themselves after the Clemson game. Raleigh at night is not a fun place to go play if you're an away team. Miami's defense being glitchy, like you mentioned. Yes, very much so. MJ Morris, like, if you have a young quarterback, they tend to play more confidently at home. See my Kyron Drones comment from earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Young quarterbacks at home tend to be a little bit more comfortable. Get the crowd behind you a little bit. Yeah, this is a really tough spot for Miami.
Yep. Evan Sandage, salty Dave Doran ain't losing a primetime game. Might not.
Might not. Yeah, might not. I do know one coach in a tight ball game who would be willing to give the game away, though. And he's not. He's not on NC State's sideline, I'll tell you that.
Is there a...
Connor Stallions might be, though, so just keep an eye out for him.
Could be on... Yeah, it's like a game of where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
Yeah, where's like Waldo?
Connor Stallions, Carmen Sandiego, CS.
Yeah.
Is there a... There's an Illuminati reference in here somewhere?
The fun call out for offenses in college football is where's Waldo? And they're usually referring to the Mike linebacker. Where's Waldo now refers to, you know, your own sidelines too with assistant coaches, because now you got Jim McElwain's sorry ass having to defend himself. Wonder why Connor Stallions was on his sideline for one of the games earlier this year.
What a name, by the way.
Connor Stallions. You know what that sounds like? You know, I'll leave that alone.
Please.
There it is.
Good Lord, Scott. I think that concludes my analysis of this game, Mike.
That was the me to Scott on that one. That was the Wade to LeBron, like,
yeah,
the iconic picture. That was an alley-oop for him.
Just throwing alley-oop up.
Yeah.
Whew. All right. I think that's all I got there.
It's going to be fun to listen back to.
Yeah, no kidding. Should we recap the Bowling Green win, by the way, who the Falcons probably going bowling at this point?
Yeah, Scott Leffler is just going to keep being the coach at Bowling Green, I guess.
Congrats, Scott. It's a big honor.
Big honor.
Did they miss a field goal? They chose not to kick one at the end that would have gotten them cover.
They elected not to kick one, from what I understand. I did not watch this. So
yeah, I didn't watch it either.
Wednesday night in action.
Heard people were mad about it because Bowling Green is a 4.5-point favorite, and they were up by 3, and yeah, I guess elected not to kick a field goal late in the game. Turns it over into a turnover on downs instead at the Ball State 26-yard line. So
yeah, Tom Fornelli said something along the lines of, "Well, Bowling Green, he could just simply kick the field goal." His Twitter tip of the day was Bowling Green, I think -4.5, -5.5.
If you put your betting faith in Scott Leffler, you get what you get, Mike. You get what you get. You don't get to be mad about it.
Evan Sanders, Scott Leffler continues to fall upward. Northwestern and Michigan State are both looking for head coaches. That would be fun. Boy, oh boy.
That would be the perfect outcome of this season.
Imagine Scott Leffler coaching against like Ryan Day.
Oh man, that would be hilarious.
Talk about a tactical advantage.
Yeah. It's like Scott Leffler is basically like the Chris Pratt meme of like, I don't know what I'm doing here and I'm too afraid to ask at this point. Like,
yeah, and I also like the fun meme that goes around is like Ryan Day. Like, is he really any good? It's like the fun thing, right? Like big game Ryan Day.
Yeah.
He always tends to, his teams sometimes show up, sometimes don't. Is he really all that good? You know, some people will be asking that when he goes up against Scott Leffler.
Yeah. Our guy. Falcons are 5-4, Mike. Starting to look like a quality loss for the Jackets, honestly. I think you should be ranking Georgia Tech at this point.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too.
Yeah.
When I watched, that's what I was thinking when I looked at the score and saw Bowling Green sneak by Ball State on a Wednesday night. I was like, you know what? Quality loss for the Jackets.
That's right. Makes it all better. Makes it all better.
I am wearing my Georgia Tech shirt, after all.
Attaboy.
So.
Mike, I think that's all I got. Should we recap our locks here?
Let's do it.
We both have Louisville -9.5 against the Hokies. We both have NC State +4.5 against Miami. And we both have, or you have Syracuse -2.5 at home against Boston College. I do not have the cojones to join you on that.
Guess you don't like making money on a Friday night.
I'm if I had to lock something, a third thing up, it would probably be the under in the Wake Forest and Duke game. That's 44.5. I am very close to doing that. And if I get that to Scott before he makes the graphic, we might go there, but keep tuned there to see if I do that or not.
Are you betting Notre Dame Clemson? Are you going to bet that?
No.
Okay.
Too much variance. That could go in a lot of ways. So okay.
Just wondering.
It's like, as much as Clemson has been kind of incompetent on offense, like, there's always the chance they could put it together. Like, how else do I explain the near miss against Florida State earlier this year? Like, that's one of the things I keep going back to is, like, I don't think they're bad if they could pull that off. It's, I don't know, hard to make a lot of sense of. So, no, I'm just going to pass on that game.
Fair enough.
Mike, you want to work on getting out of here?
Yeah, let's do it.
First off, really appreciate the folks in the chat who joined us. This has been a lot of fun. Again, doing a live preview. If you wanted to join in the chat for a future recording, we're probably going to do Saturday Night Fever. I think that's on the table this week, Mike, right?
Yeah. It is. Yep.
Yeah.
I'll be around.
Saturday Night Fever. Tune in. That'll be roughly midnight Eastern. Come join us. YouTube.com/@theACCFootballPodcast. Join in the chat. Join in the discussion as we go. We got some great community going here. We got a little bit of banter going back and forth. So that's been a lot of fun. Appreciate the folks that come out and join us and join in the fun discussions. Once again, YouTube.com/@theACCFootballPodcast. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell icon. Make sure you're notified when we are going to go live. You can find us on Twitter @FTRSJoey, @MikeMcDanielSI, together @BCPodcastACC. You can find us on iTunes, on Spotify, any of those good places you go find audio version of your podcast, if that's your preferred method of listening. Appreciate the folks who do that. You can send us an email to the longest email address known to man, basketballconferencepodcast@gmail.com.
Nailed it.
Thank you. Mike, where else are we in the social medias?
Facebook, facebook.com/basketballconference, rate review. Find all of our podcasts there. Instagram @BCPodcastACC, YouTube.com/@TheACCFootballPodcast.
Yep. Absolutely. I think that's it, Mike. Did we forget anything? Scott, we good?
We hit 250. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah.
On to 500.
Y'all are the best.
On to 500. Halfway there already.
Absolutely. That's just math.
That's just math.
Podcast motto.
It's just math. It's just money. It's our other podcast motto. It's just money.
That's right. I think that's all I got, guys. Anything else?
We're good.
You want to come back and recap some games?
Yeah, let's do it.
Saturday Night Fever. Do it right for the first time in like a month.
Do it right, baby. Do it right.
Let's do it. All right. Until then, for Mr. Mike McDaniel, for producer Scott, I am Joey Weaver. Thank you, guys. So much for listening.
And the claw.
And the claw. The claw. Yeah, why not? Yeah. Thanks to the claw, too.
Claw fence, baby.
We'll see if there's any of that this week. I am Joey Weaver. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll talk to you again soon. And until then, go ACC.